I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
What is up, Orioles fans? Nick Stevens here, riding solo on this Monday. Our main show this week will actually be Wednesday night. We're going to be joined by Tyler Jennings of Prospects Live. He is their director of draft content. We're going to talk with Tyler about the quickly approaching MLB draft. So going to have lots of draft content coming up on the feed this week in preparation for one of my favorite events of the year. And before we kicked off that draft coverage with Tyler, I thought I would go through and do the same thing I did last year and put together just a little 5-round solo mock draft for the Orioles, taking a look at some potential options, talking through a couple of names, and really just taking a few minutes to have some fun here. I'm going to go ahead and use this opportunity, though, to plug everything real quick. I did write up a first version of the mock draft over on our Substack, which you can check out. There's a link in the show notes to subscribe to our Substack. By the time this comes out, there will also be a brand new article that I put up there on the Substack looking at right-handed pitcher Keylor Morphe down in the Dominican Summer League. Now, of course, our Twitter account is going to be very active throughout the MLB draft, providing the instant stats, highlights, and all the information for each draft pick. As I've done every year, everything of interest I can find out about a pick, it will be shared on our Twitter feed. There's also going to be a lot of discussion over on our Discord. You can join using the link. That link is also in our show notes. That is completely free to join the Discord. There is a patron-only section of the Discord, though, that includes specific MLB draft channel where there's been lots of discussion and information shared already. It's a fun place to talk about the draft. There are a few patrons who love the draft just as much as I do and have been pretty active the last couple of months in that channel. Reminder, you can join our Patreon for as little as $3 a month. We also have $5 and $10 levels. You can get a 7-day free trial right now when you sign up. You can even commit for a full year and you get a bit of a discount. I think it's like 2 months free, basically. You get daily podcasts to recap all the action across the Orioles minor league system. You get monthly bonus episodes breaking down changes to our top 50 prospect list that we publish. And you get access to those patron exclusive channels on our Discord, plus plenty more perks. Patreon.com/ontheverge. Check that out. It always blows my mind that we have more than, I think, 150 patrons right now. Probably another 50 or more people who have signed up and been patrons at some point. And I think I can speak for Bob and Zach when I say we greatly, greatly appreciate everyone who signs up to support the content. But enough of the plugs already. Let's dive into this. The 2024 Orioles mock draft version 2.0. So I did this last year. I nailed two picks, Matt Horvath and Jake Cunningham. So let's see if I can run it back and get two or more right again this year. Very important note here, though, I am using the Prospects Live mock draft simulator. This goes up to 5 rounds. So I'm going to be doing all 5 rounds here. That is 6 picks for the Orioles. They have the PPI pick for Gunnar Henderson winning Rookie of the Year honors last year. And I'm only going to be controlling the Baltimore Orioles, so every other pick is going to be simulated by the Prospects Live board. And since this is audio only, I'll try and set you up with each pick, looking at some intriguing names who went off the board, a few options of who's available with each pick, and provide some notes, my observations about guys, and why I selected each of those players. So it's fun exercise for entertainment purposes only. Let's see what the simulator can give us here. All right, you know what that sound means. It means the Orioles are on the clock and the pick is in. We're at pick 22 in the first round. Oregon State's Travis Bazzano went number one overall to Cleveland. I think that is going to be the right move in real life for the Guardians. But scrolling down a little bit, Vance Honeycutt went to Miami. I like that pick. If he would have fallen to 22, I would have taken him. And I think the Orioles have to seriously consider making that move as well. The Milwaukee Brewers took my favorite player in the draft, ECU's right-handed pitcher, Treyus Savage. And the Twins take high school lefty Cam Caminiti right before us at pick 21. So looking at the top of the Prospects Live board here, we've got Iowa right-hander Brody Brecht. We've got high school outfielder Slade Caldwell, Oklahoma State outfielder Carson Binge, and Mississippi State outfielder Dakota Jordan. Some of the top names on the board here. Brecht has been mocked, to the Orioles a lot, and for pretty good reason. I mean, he has elite stuff. The walks and ability to find the strike zone have improved as the seasons went along. He's been rising up the ranks, and I think if the right organization makes the right tweaks with Brecht, he becomes one of the top pitching prospects in the game. There's truly an impressive ceiling here, and I know a lot of Orioles fans think taking a pitcher in the first round is a must. It is not, though. There's no denying anymore that the Orioles' pitching development is pretty top-notch. And while I do think they can work some real magic with Brecht, and I would not hate that pick at all if that ends up being the pick in real life, I'm going to go with Oklahoma State outfielder Carson Binge as the pick here. If you read my first mock draft, if you've been in the Patreon channels, you know that I'm a Carson Binge guy, so I'm going to continue rolling with Binge here with the first round pick. As I wrote up in the Substack piece, Binge, the left-handed hitting outfielder, right-handed pitcher, but I'm really not interested at all in him pitching. He had 18 home runs this year for the Cowboys, walked 49 times, struck out 51 times, so nearly identical walked strikeout rates, around 16%. He had a sub 20% chase rate and was one of the biggest risers in the country in terms of contact rate. He went from a 77% contact rate to 84%, according to Baseball America. I've watched some interviews of his as well. He appears to fit that growth mindset that the Orioles are attracted to. He did hit a lot of ground balls, more ground balls than you like to see from a hitter, but the power is clearly there, the swing decisions are there, the contact rate is there. I think it's easier to get these hitters to create loft and start driving the ball out if they're already good at making contact. And I think Orioles Director of Player Development Anthony Villa said as much when he was on our show a few months ago. So I'm not too concerned about the ground ball right here with Binge. Give me Carson Binge and let's see what the Orioles can do with this bat. As a side note, I mean, you can't leave this draft for the Orioles without some Oklahoma State connection. You go Jensen Elliott and Jake Lyons in the 2019 draft, along with signing Noah DeNoyer after the draft, who was committed to pitch for Oklahoma State, Jackson Holiday, Nolan McClain in 2022. You got the Holiday family there at Oklahoma State, so I'm sure the Orioles have the full book on a binge. If you'd like to know the grades here, looking at Baseball America grades, they give Binge a 55 hit, 50 power run and field, 60 arm overall, 50 grade prospect. All right, we're at the PPI pick now here. 32nd overall, the pick awarded to the Orioles for Gunnar Henderson, winning Rookie of the Year. Brecht went to the Dodgers at 23. Dakota Jordan went to the Phillies at 27. And then two college arms went off at 30 and 31. Duke lefty Jonathan Santucci, and then went to Texas, and Tennessee righty Drew Beam went to Arizona. So some names at the top of the board we're looking at here: Kentucky outfielder Ryan Waldschmidt, Tennessee third baseman Billy Amick, LSU third baseman Tommy White. Both of those names have been linked to the Orioles in mock drafts. Northeastern outfielder Mike Sirota, a name I still like despite a down year this year. In my first mock, I went with Louisiana Lafayette shortstop Kalen DeBarge here, who is going to, I think, either go pretty early to a smart organization, or someone's going to get a tremendous value when he falls, depending on how the board shakes out here in real life. I want to go to DeBarge here again, but let's mix this one up because he's still sitting here. I'm going to take Kansas State shortstop Kalen Culpepper with pick number 32 overall. He's been mocked to the Orioles a few times, more so recently. Sometimes at pick 22, sometimes it's at pick 32. I think if the Orioles can get Carson Benge or Brecht or another super high upside player there at 22 and then have Culpepper fall to them at 32, I think that would be pretty fantastic. As noted in many of the national mocks, the Orioles apparently are very interested in Culpepper. There is some solid connection there. At least there's a solid connection rumored to be there. And I think he opened a lot of eyes in the NCAA regionals. He took Hagen Smith of Arkansas deep. That was a fun game to watch. And it seems like the college shortstop class just maybe isn't what it usually is in terms of the high ceiling guys. There are a lot of high floor guys who I'm interested in, but if you can walk away from this year's draft with a college shortstop like Kalen Culpepper, I think you have to be feeling pretty good. So Culpepper hit 11 home runs this year for Kansas State, had a near 14% strikeout rate and a 12.5% walk rate. Good numbers there. He was 17 for 21 in stolen base attempts. He has shined in postseason play. He shined for Team USA. According to the mocks and public reports, at least, it's believed he could stick at shortstop. MLB Pipeline notes that they think he can be a potential Gold Glover at third base, but may lack the power you like to see from the bat if you move him over there into the hot corner. You look at other reports, they all tend to agree, though, that he's likely more of a doubles or gap hitter than a home run hitter as a pro, and he will chase, which is a red flag. I know Keith Law noted some high chase rates when he saw him in postseason play this year. I think he was at one of the regional matchups. I just think it's not the strongest class overall, and while Culpepper does have holes in his game, he's without a doubt, I think, one of the top bats in this second tier of hitters in the draft. So he's a good college defensive shortstop. You get him into the system and see what you can do with his bats. I just don't think there's going to be many opportunities to land a Kalen Culpepper type in this year's draft. And looking at his Baseball America.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of different sounds you might hear. Drive too fast and you can hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, the sound of ambulances and first responders desperately trying to free you from the wreckage. You can hear the beeps of a heart monitor. You can hear doctors and nurses in an emergency room as you're being treated for your injuries. You can hear the sound of your worried family members in the hospital waiting room, hoping to hear that you're okay. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, whether by a lot or by a little, you could do damage that's beyond repair. You could seriously injure yourself. Or worse, you could hurt and even kill someone else. When you speed, you put everyone on the road in danger. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Grades. Baseball America ranks him as a 34th prospect in the class, 50 grade overall, 50 hit, 45 power, 55 run, 50 field, and 60 arm. So we're two picks down, got two fun prospects here. Let's move to round two, 61st overall. A lot of college arms sitting here that I like. Alabama's Ben Hess reminds me of a Lance Lynn type pitcher physically. Lots of high school upside here as well. But let's grab a pitcher. Maybe I'm reaching a little bit, but I'm fine with it right here. Let's go with Texas A&M left-handed pitcher Ryan Prager with this selection. Prager is a 6'3", 21-year-old lefty who did have Tommy John surgery back in October of 2022. So he missed all of 2023, but had a very strong 2024 at Texas A&M in the SEC. He has seen his stock rise a ton this season. He made 19 starts for the Aggies. He went 9-1 with a 2.95 ERA, 120 strikeouts to just 24 walks in 97 innings. So very, very productive numbers coming off Tommy John. He's got this deceptive over-the-top delivery. It's low 90s velo with a slider and changeup that produce a high number of swings and misses. His entire repertoire produced a 34% whiff rate this year. His fastball gets 22 plus inches of induced vertical break, so a super hoppy fastball. MLB Pipeline notes in their write-up of him that he hasn't seen velo uptick recently, but some scouts do believe there's more velo in the tank, and he's got mid-rotation upside with the potential for more if the velo ticks up a bit. He's got great control of all of his pitches. He's got multiple breaking balls already, and he ended the year on a very high note. He pitched 6 2/3 scoreless against Kentucky with 4 strikeouts to help get Texas A&M to the College World Series Championship Series, then pitched in Game 1 of the College World Series just 5 days later, which was short rest for him from his usual 7-day short rest. He gave up 2 runs in 4 innings against Tennessee, but he struck out 6 and didn't walk anybody. Go look at his SEC game log. He dominated pretty much every single week in the SEC. He outdueled Hagan Smith when they squared off against Arkansas. I think if you increase the velo, get a little bit more out of him, he's going to be an impressive pitching prospect. I'm going to take him here in the second round, 61st overall. Again, to highlight the Baseball America grades, he is their 66th ranked prospect, 45 grade overall. He's got a 50 grade fastball, according to Baseball America, 50 grade slider, 50 grade changeup, and 55 grade control. All right, let's move now to round 3, 97 overall. I was hoping Kansas State right-handed pitcher Tyson Nabors would fall back to me, but he goes 85th overall to the Tigers. We've got Arkansas infielder Peyton Stovall sitting here. Missouri State outfielder Zach Stewart is someone who I've been reading a lot about recently. A lot of great reports on him. He's very interesting, and I would really like to take him here. My draft crush, right-handed pitcher Daniel Egan out of Presbyterian, is also available. It's between Daniel Egan and LSU lefty Gage Jump right now. I took Egan in the mock draft I wrote up on Substack. Go check that out. There's a video of Lance Brozdowski talking about Egan as he started his draft prep. He really jumps off the page, and I would love to have Egan in this organization, but it jumps off the page. I'm going to go with LSU lefty Gage Jump here, around 397 overall. I don't know if Jump falls this far in real life. Kylie McDaniel recently had Gage Jump going 62nd overall in his 2-round mock draft to the Atlanta Braves. So maybe it's not realistic to grab him here in the third, but he's here. He's on the board. That's how the board fell. So I'm going to take him. Let's take the value here and go with. He is yet another lefty who had Tommy John in college. He started at UCLA in 2022. He had Tommy John surgery and then transferred to LSU. And he was very dominant with the Tigers this year, immediately coming off Tommy John surgery. 17 appearances this year, a 3.47 ERA, 101 strikeouts to 22 walks in 83 innings. And I think if you go with Ryan Prager and Gage Jump with these two early picks, you keep them in Sarasota after the draft, work them out there, and I think they'd be candidates to start the 2025 season, make their pro debuts in High A Aberdeen, as we've seen a number of guys do this year. Two dominant SEC arms. I have no reason to believe they couldn't start next year in High A. According to Baseball America, Jump tops out at 97 miles per hour with, quote, great riding life that plays well in the top of the zone, 60 grade fastball with 55 grade slider and curve, along with a seldom used changeup with 50 grade control. I also know current Orioles pro scouting consultant Joe Drake, formerly at Prospects Live, saw a lot of tweets that he had back in the day about Gage Jump. Lots of video and watching him. Seemed like he was a Gage Jump guy back in the day, as I try to connect some dots here and form some sort of connection. The Orioles also did just take Blake Money and Riley Cooper out of LSU last year. They're pitching pretty well for Delmarva right now. If you're going to stockpile arms out of one particular school, LSU is a pretty good school to do so. I think Ben McDonald would agree. Not that he would be biased at all. But Gage Jump, high-profile prospect coming out of high school, was originally drafted by the Padres, so I will happily take him here at 97 overall, the 65th-ranked prospect on Baseball America's big board. We've got 2 picks left now. Round 4, pick 127 overall. Daniel Egan almost fell back to us. He falls all the way to 124, and guess who takes him? The Tampa Bay Rays. Shocker. Pretty disappointing to see him almost fall back to us, but I think this pick is going to be pretty easy. So far, to recap again, we've got Oklahoma State outfielder Carson Benge. We've got Kansas State shortstop Kalen Culpepper, Texas A&M left-handed pitcher Ryan Prager, and LSU left-handed pitcher Gage Jump. Now we're in round four. At the top of the Prospects Live board, we are looking at College of Charleston's Cole Mathis, who I think is a nice draft sleeper. We could grab Ryan Prager's teammate, right-handed pitcher Chris Cortez. He gets into the upper 90s, had a 46% whiff rate this year. His slider alone had a 57% whiff rate. But I'm going to go with UVA outfielder Casey Sauk here. And our guest on Wednesday, Tyler Jennings, actually has Sauk pegged as a day two bat of intrigue. I know he's seen him a couple times this year. Kylie McDaniel has him as a third rounder in his latest mock draft. So let's take the value and get Sauk in the fourth round here. If you haven't heard of Sauk before, he turns 21 on July 24th. So he's very young. Models will like that. He's listed at 6'3", 210 pounds. Started out in the infield, but has thrived in UVA's outfield. So there's that possible positional versatility already. We know the Orioles like and covet. He's coming off a season where he hit .344 with a .407 on-base percentage, 18 doubles, and 14 home runs. He had a .985 OPS. He does have a very unconventional and funky setup before his swing. But we know the Orioles have not shied away from guys with unconventional setups or swings before. See Hudson Haskin, Dylan Beavers, etc. There are a number of these guys in the organization. If you haven't seen the swing yet, just search on Twitter for his name. Check out the video. It's weird, but it works. He had the longest home run for UVA this season. It was at home, a 463-foot blast that he hit at 109 miles per hour. And UVA puts out these weekly exit velo leaderboards. And Sauk was routinely at the top of those leaderboards, 108-plus mile per hour batted balls each week. I'm also going to pull a quote here from Peter Flaherty over at Baseball America, the premier follow for college baseball, clips, highlights, news, analysis. He said, quote, "He's very intrigued with Casey Sauk," and this was at the beginning of the season. "Pro body, quickness in his hands, borderline plus power, can drive the ball to all fields, solid bat-to-ball skills, sound approach, plus arm in right field." So pretty high praise there. I'd love to hear that. We're talking about a fourth-round pick here, right? I will gladly take that. This time last year, Kylie McDaniel actually had Sauk ranked in the same tier as Kalen Culpepper and Wake Forest shortstop Seaver King, who's going to be drafted well before, I believe, the Orioles pick in the first round. Sauk isn't in that tier now, but we're talking about a fourth round draft pick here with a pretty impressive upside. So let's go. Let's take Casey Sauk. If you're going to get more power out of that bat, and he's got that really impressive arm in the outfield, maybe he plays some infield as well. You move him around a little bit. I.e. Tavian Josenberger, Reed Trimble. I think he could be a really fun pick. And a fun note here, as we try to connect all of these dots, make the Orioles connections with these guys, Casey Sauk's dad, Casey Sauk Sr., played for the Orioles organization back in 2000 and 2001. His dad hit 6 home runs and had a near .300 batting average for the then Gulf Coast League Orioles. Got 2 shots with Delmarva, but really struggled, and eventually tried indie ball, struggled there as well before his playing days came to an end. But his dad's a former Oriole, so why not? Let's have a son, bring a son aboard. Again, looking at Baseball America grades, 45 overall, 144th ranked prospect, 45 hit tool, 50 power, 40 run, 45 field, and a 60 arm. We've reached the very last pick in this mock draft. We're in the 5th round. I'd love to continue, but maybe next year Prospects Live will extend their simulator. 5 rounds, pick 160. Shout out to the Braves who go with JMU outfielder Fenwick Trimble, 2 picks before, 2 picks right after we took Casey Sauk. The Braves no ball. Chris Cortez, who I just mentioned, goes to Boston in the 5th round. Great pick for them. No big fallers here, so let's end this draft with the same guy I ended the first version of this mock draft with, and select William & Mary right-handed pitcher Nate Knowles. So we are bookending this draft the same as we did the first time, but I like Nate Knowles, and I love Carson Benge. Knowles will be just 20 years old on draft day. He's a right-handed pitcher out of William & Mary. The models love the younger players, so Knowles, I'm sure, should pop. Can we find an Orioles connection here, though, with Nate Knowles? I haven't done extensive research, but I do believe that he possibly just missed crossing paths with Orioles hitting coordinator Brink Ambler, who was at William & Mary before joining the Orioles. So there's your Orioles semi-connection, at least. Knowles pitched to a 2.48 ERA this season for the Tribe, 80 innings, struck out 112, walked 39. He had the ninth lowest ERA in the entire country. He also had two standout games. If you're just looking at how he fared against bigger competition, obviously the CAA, not the best conference in the country, but he did take on UVA and Duke this year, two powerhouse ACC schools that had fantastic seasons. He threw a combined 8 innings against those two schools, struck out 9, allowed just one earned run. So pretty impressive against big-time competition. I'm going to read off Prospects Live, their blurb here. Their scouting notes on Knowles, they said, quote, "Hailing from William & Mary, Knowles is an interesting data arm that has early day two potential. While the command could be streaky with some stiffer movements at release, Knowles has added some velo to his heater, getting up to 94 miles per hour with a flat VAA and impressive carry, which allows it to play up and miss a solid amount of bats. As he improves his feel for the strike zone, his whiff rate should increase. He features a mid-80s gyro cutter with intriguing traits, a big mid-70s curveball with bite and tilt, and a high-spin, low-80s combo." I'm sure many of you listening are familiar with Mason McRae. He did fantastic work on Twitter. I miss having him on Twitter and his draft research, but he is now with the Boston Red Sox, which is why I believe you do not see him active on social media right now. These organizations, they're grabbing the best of the best online, and it leaves us high and dry, but we proceed. More people step up, thankfully. But Mason McRae's dad is actually the coach at William & Mary, and Mason did a lot of work with their analytics department, so if you just search on Twitter for Nate Knowles, you will find lots of juicy data on Knowles there. I don't want to read off a lot of numbers, don't want to read off a ton more on strictly audio platform here, but search Nate Knowles on Twitter, find William & Mary Analytics Twitter account, scroll through those numbers, fantastic swing and miss, great stuff, and location plus numbers. He's a local-ish product, so we're going there with right-handed pitcher Nate Knowles from William & Mary in round 5. So I thought that was a lot of fun scrolling through this board here. Here's the final squad to recap everything. We got Oklahoma State outfielder Carson Binge in the first round. We've got Kansas State shortstop Kalen Culpepper with the PPI pick at 32 overall. Texas A&M left-handed pitcher Ryan Prager in the second round at 61 overall. LSU left-handed pitcher Gage Jump in round 3 at 97 overall. University of Virginia outfielder Casey Salk in round 4, that was 127 overall. And rounding out the mock draft, William and Mary right-handed pitcher Nate Knowles in round 5, pick 160 overall. I hope you all enjoyed that. Join our Patreon, join the Discord, come hang out. Let's talk about the upcoming draft class. Be sure to follow us at The Verge Pod on Twitter. I will be super active during the draft, passing along all the highlights, stats, and info on every pick. In the meantime, see you all again on Wednesday night with Prospects Live, Director of Draft Content, Tyler Jennings. We'll talk about some of these names, I'm sure. We'll talk about the draft as a whole. If you have any questions, shoot us a DM on Twitter, send us an email, hop in the Discord. We have a questions section there. You can drop in questions, mailbag section, if you will. Drop a question if you have anything for Tyler you'd like to talk about. Looking forward to that conversation. In the meantime, have a great week, Orioles fans.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.